Lovely to be back here at Addlesden Baptist Church. I bring greetings from Heathervale Baptist Church, the daughter church of this church. We wouldn't have existed without you, so we're very grateful for your ministry and your calling that God had on you to plant a church in Newhall. And that's sort of where I'm going to come from today when we look at this passage in Luke's Gospel. And it's Luke chapter 5 and verses 1 to 11. And it says, "On one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him." So a familiar passage in the Bible, and it's always a bit of trepidation when you come to a familiar passage that you just feel is right to speak this morning, because you've probably heard it all before. But I'm trusting that God knows what he's doing, because he normally does, and there'll be something in what I'm going to share this morning for you here at Addlesden Baptist Church. And what I find is that whenever I do any speaking and I look at a passage, there are things that just jump out to me as if God is saying, "Take note, this is for you." And so it is with that trepidation that I speak to you and also speak to myself. So I've entitled this, that we have an amazing God. I'm sure you're aware of it, that our God is an amazing God. And he promises to do more than we can ask or imagine. And so when he asks us to do something, we should just do it. The problem is, we're human. And we have free will. And I want to do what I want to do, actually. But God knows best. So hopefully God knows best. So when we come to Luke chapter 5, now, I don't know if you can think back to when you left school or you left university or you were just looking for your first job. And you looked at all the jobs that were available to you and that you perhaps wanted to apply for. And then you asked for what's the requirements for this particular job. And then you look at, have I got the right skills in order to do that job? And whether you have or you haven't, if it's a job you want, you just apply for it and trust that the right thing will happen. So I've got an experience of that. And it wasn't my first job, because my first job was an aircraft engineer apprentice. And so all I needed was some sort of educational qualification, because they were going to train me to be an aircraft engineer. So that was fine. So I applied for it and I got that. But one particular job, as I was an aircraft engineer with British Airways, that I felt I just needed to change. I was getting older and climbing over aeroplanes and trying to get into tight spaces to do some things was not good on my health. And so I saw this job come up for an account manager in the commercial department of engineering, selling engineering services to other airlines around the world. And it sort of interested me. Not that I've got any sales background, but it just interested me. And I got the job description. And when I looked at the job description, there was a list of must-haves and there was a list of nice-to-have. And I looked at the must-haves and felt, I can't compete with this. I haven't got half the skills that they're looking for. But I still felt I wanted this job, so I'm going to apply for it. So I applied for the job, and to my surprise, I got an interview. I guess because I'm an aircraft engineer, so selling engineering services, at least I have some knowledge of how the system works. And I got an interview. And my even bigger surprise was that I got the job. And a few months into the job, I had an opportunity to meet with the manager of the commercial department. And I said, I hope you don't mind, why did you give me this job when I didn't have half the qualifications that you were asking for? And he said to me, it was a good interview, and anything that you didn't have is trainable. And I've used that comment whenever I have been in a position where I've been looking for staff to fill a role. I consider from their CV what they've got and what is trainable. You see, things like in the commercial department, you need to have a lot of contract experience. And I had no contract experience. But BA is a big commercial legal department, which can train me on contracts. Sent me on negotiation skill courses so I could negotiate multi-million pound contracts with other airlines. But what they couldn't train was my character. My character was non-trainable. So they looked at my character and said, you're right for this job. I can train everything else. And that's the basis of this passage in Luke's Gospel. Jesus is looking at the characters of the people involved. He's not necessarily looking at their skill set. He's looking at their character and looking at what is trainable. So from this passage, if I get the zapper right, three things to look at. God calls ordinary people. So hands up if you're an ordinary person. So God is going to call you. So there's a danger now of putting your hand up, because God is going to call you to something. Oh, no, let's go back one. Getting ahead of myself. The impossible is possible for God. Anything we think we can't do is possible with God. And thirdly, responding to the commands of Jesus. So let's look at these. So God calls ordinary people. And Luke 5, chapter 11, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Jesus was calling fishermen to do a fisherman's job, but not with fish, but with men. So why did Jesus choose fishermen? A bit like me as an aircraft engineer, I had knowledge of aeroplanes and how they work. So please don't ask me about the Air India crash, and because that's outside my knowledge. But he chose fishermen because they were fishermen, and he was going to make them into fishers of men. So he had to look at their character. What was the character of these fishermen? Now, fishermen in the time of Jesus were almost the lowest of the low. He wasn't calling high society people. He was calling the lowest of the low to do an amazing God, an amazing job for God. So he considered them to be the most important for the role he had for them. And Jesus looks on people very differently to how we look at people. We make instant judgments on people based on what we first see. Somebody told me a long time ago that you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And that's very true. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression. So when you see someone, you make an instant decision about them. And I've done that so many times and got it so wrong. I ran on behalf of BA Engineering some courses for some of the engineers. And the guy walked in to the course that day, and he had the great big Doc Martens. He had jeans that were ripped. He had a sort of checkered shirt on and a bright yellow Mohican. And I thought, here comes trouble. If I'm thinking this is a nice course to do today, here is someone trouble. A nicer person you could never, ever wish to meet. He was so gentle. He was so nice. He was so cooperative. And in a way, it gave me a big slap on the face. I'd made an instant judgment, and I got it so, so wrong. God doesn't get it wrong. When he looks at me, he sees me. Not my outward appearance. He sees me. And God never gets it wrong. So, he called these fishermen. Why did he call them? Well, let's look at some of their characters. Firstly, he saw they were hardworking. So in Luke 5, verse 5b, we've worked hard all night and hadn't caught anything. They worked all night to try and catch fish. And they would have sailed or rowed their boats to different positions around the sea or the lake in order to catch fish. But regardless of how much they tried, they caught nothing. Now, it wouldn't have been easy work as a fisherman. I've never been a fisherman, but I've watched some of these fishing programs on TV, and it looks a tough job, a real tough job. And they would have needed to be tough in order to be fishermen. They would have needed to be tough to pull out the nets. When they do eventually catch fish, that must have been a real... I guess today they have these powerful winches that draw the nets in, but they would have had to pull them by hand. So they needed to be tough as well. It would have also been an unsociable lifestyle because they go out at night as well as during the day, but I guess mostly overnight that people fish for in order to get the biggest load of fish. So an unsociable lifestyle and probably very smelly too. Not something I'd really want to do, but they were hard working and wanted to do the best job that they could. Secondly, he saw that they were dependable. These fishermen would go out in any weather, in any conditions, in order to catch fish, to provide food for themselves and for the community in which they lived. They couldn't afford to be fair weather fishermen. I mean, I went fishing once with my brother. I hated every minute. I was bored to death. Didn't catch anything, so that made it worse. But really, fishing is just not my bag, I'm afraid. But these guys, I just stand in awe of all fishermen that can do that, especially going out in all these storms and everything else. They couldn't afford to be fair weather fishermen. Neither could they go out when they felt like it. They had to be dependable. People were relying on them, their families, their friends, their community. They knew if they didn't go out, they'd be letting themselves down, their families down, and their community down. So being dependable was important. Thirdly, Jesus saw their potential. See, not only were they fishermen, they would have been businessmen. Now, they may not have had profit and loss accounts to work out, you know, we need to catch this amount of fish, sell it for this amount of money in order to make a profit. Then, of course, we've got to repair the boats, buy the boat and the nets, etc., etc. But they would have had enough business sense to know how much they needed to catch in order to survive. And it's an unpredictable job, fishing, because you never know where the fish are. And they, this night, despite going to all the places they would have known where they would catch fish, they caught nothing. I think God had a hand in making the fish go somewhere else or wait in this special place that Jesus was going to tell them to let down the net. God is an amazing God and can not manipulate, but you know what I mean, to move things around. So they were in awe. They would make sacrifices. That's their potential. They would make sacrifices in order to make things happen. They would do that to meet their own needs and to the needs of others around them. They didn't want to let anybody down. And Jesus saw that they were capable of being transformed from fishers of fish to fishers of men. The character was right, hardworking, dependable, full of potential, the right people for the right job. And they had the ability to do what God wanted them to do. Why? The character was right, and he could train what wasn't right. And that's the amazing work of our God. So they are trainable. So fourthly, they're trainable. And Luke 5:10, then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." A new role he was going to give them. And Simon Peter would have known all about fishing. They would have learnt this from their father. They would have also learnt how to repair nets, how to repair the boats, how to keep going, and where to fish, as well as the business skills that they needed. So they did have some training. But Jesus was now going to call them to a different role, making them fishers of men. But they were going to use the same skills that they already had in order to catch men. Jesus was going to take them under his wing, and he was going to train them to do the job that the Father had called them to do. And we read that when Jesus called them, they left everything to follow him. Is that something we would have done? Jesus said to us as fishermen that I'm now going to make you fishers of men, so leave everything and follow me. But you see, Jesus knew that's exactly what they would do because the character was right. And they trusted Jesus. So what is God calling you to do? What is God calling me to do? I guess the summer is a time for a sort of break in the year so that we come fresh in September for a new year of service for God. Is God calling you to a new service for him? Is God calling me to a new service for him? And if he is calling, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to say, I don't match the job description? Or are we going to trust God to lead us, equip us for what he has called to do? Because he promises to provide the resources that we need to fulfill the task that he's called us to do. So if he calls, respond and not resist our God. Why should we do that? The impossible is possible with God. Luke 5:5-6. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Simon's brother, Andrew, had met Jesus when he was with John the Baptist. And Andrew would have gone home and told Simon, Peter, all about Jesus, that he was the Messiah. And in verse 5, Simon refers to Jesus as Master. So he knew who Jesus was. He knew his reputation. He knew what Jesus was capable of doing. In verse 5, Simon refers to him as Master, so he knows. Simon offers a mini protest. Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. A mini sort of protest. Stating the obvious, but protesting about what Jesus is asking him to do. Jesus would have known that they had caught nothing. Because on the shoreline, there are no fish. So Jesus would have already known that they caught nothing. There was no fish for sale. But he was still going to call them to do something that they thought was impossible. So Simon's expectation of Jesus' request would be to go out, to let down the nets, and catch nothing. But because the master had requested it, he would cooperate. And that's Simon's teachable spirit. Because you say so, I will do it. Even though I think you're wrong, I think we're still not going to catch anything, but because you say so, I will do it. In Luke 18 and verse 27, Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And we need to learn that lesson, that it is possible with God. So Simon's expectation was miraculously exceeded by the number of fish that he ended up catching. So many that they had to call a second boat, and when the second boat came, they were both at the point of sinking because of so much fish. The impossible is possible with God, and it's exceeded miraculously. Jesus, during his ministry, exceeded people's expectation on what he was able to do. Just to name a few, feeding of over 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish, with loads of baskets left over. Turning water into wine. Not any ordinary house red or house white, but the best quality wine that anyone had ever tasted. And of course, raising Lazarus from the dead. Our brother has died. The expectation was Jesus was too late. But Jesus did the impossible, exceeded their expectation. So just to name a few. So what are we facing today? What are you facing today? What am I facing today that I think is impossible? That this situation that I'm in will never change. And the problem is, when we try and do it in our own strength, it probably won't change. We need to hand it over to God and to let him take the situation and exceed our expectation, because that's the God whom we serve. And Jeremiah, he prayed this: "Our sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you." In difficult circumstances, that's the prayer we need to pray, isn't it? Nothing is too hard for you. So thirdly and lastly, responding to the commands of Jesus. Luke 5, "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Now, Albert Einstein was quoted to have said, "Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result." These fishermen were about to do that. They were going to do the same thing over again, and the expectation that something would change was almost zero. So I'm sure Simon, although Einstein was a lot later than Simon, he would have had those thoughts. This is just not going to work. We've tried. We've tried and caught nothing. Now you're telling me to go and let down the nets again, just to catch nothing again. But if you look at the words of Jesus, it's a command with a promise. It's a command with a promise. You see, it's not as if Jesus was saying, "Let's go out into the deep water, put down the nets, and let's see what happens." If you let down the nets, you will catch fish. So there's a command with a promise. Obedience to Jesus' commands always result in divine blessing. And here, the blessing was a boatload of fish. So many that nearly 2 boats sank because of the number of fish that were there. When God is telling us to do something, let's just do it. I've resisted lots of times, so I'm as guilty as anybody else. And I need to learn the same lesson, that when God asks me to do something, I just need to do it. Trust in God, even when it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, can you imagine, you know, God saying, well, he did. God saying to Noah, "Build me a boat." when people around had never seen that amount of rain that would cause this boat to float. It's crazy. Why are you asking me to build a boat? You know, there's no water, but he trusted God. It didn't make sense. And we know what happened. And can you imagine the people walking around Jericho? If you want to see these walls come down, walk round it 7 times. Well, Lord, why can't you make them fall down on the first time? Why do we have to go round 7 times? It's about being obedient to God's commands. If we're obedient to God's commands, we will be blessed. We will see things change. Now, today we may not have Jesus here physically to stand in our face to call us to do something, but we have the Holy Spirit living inside us, convicting us about what God is calling us to do. Hebrews 3, verse 15, I finish with this. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If we respond to the commands of Jesus, then we will be blessed. But not only us, but the people that we come into contact with, the situations that we find ourselves in, they also will be blessed. And the challenge to me when I was doing this was, how many people have not been blessed because you failed to do what I asked you to do? Because by doing Jesus' will, we are blessed, and other people are blessed as well. So if we fail to get a blessing, other people have failed to get a blessing because of our disobedience. So for Addleston Baptist Church, what is God calling you to do from September onwards? Is he calling you into a new work or to stop something or do whatever it is? God is calling you. Then listen to his voice. You will be blessed, and other people will be blessed because Addleston Baptist Church is on fire for God. And I know you're on fire for God. So how much more can you do? Nothing is impossible for God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning, that your word comes with a challenge. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you will move among us, that you will touch our hearts, touch our minds, that if you are calling us into a new service, that we will respond to you with a yes, here I am, wholly available. Use me to glorify your name. Use our fellowships to glorify your name in all we do and all we say, because you will receive the glory. Amen.